Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Tony Harrison is the National Trustee for the South Dakota Fraternal Order of Police. He recently returned from the National FOP Conference in Nashville. He's also a captain with the Rapid City, Rapid City Police Department.
Pennington County Sheriff's Department.
Thank you. I knew.
That's all right.
All right. We'll get our facts straight. Pennington County Sheriff's Department. He's joining us from inside the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio at SDPB's Black Hills Bureau. Tony Harrison, welcome back to the program.
Thank you for having me.
All right. The national meeting, and we have a lot to cover, really, but let's start with the national meeting in Nashville. And tell us what that's like. Law enforcement officers from all over the country gather. What's the business of the day?
Yeah, well, the Fraternal Order of Police is the largest police association in the world. There's about 330,000 members across the country. And every 2 years, we have our biannual conference, which is where we basically come together. Representatives from every state and local lodge come together, and they do the business's order, which includes, you know, changing constitutional amendments for our bylaws, making decisions based, you know, on the executive board and the board of trustees makes most of the decisions in the day in, day out operations. But this allows the members to, you know, have the say ultimately and determine where the order is going to go. So this year we met. There's about between 3,500 and 4,000 officers come together. We met in Nashville, Tennessee this year at the Gaylord Grand Ole Opry Hotel, which was a very nice hotel. And we met for about 4 days in last of August, first of September, and did our business.
And how many South Dakotan officers attend?
This year we had, I think it was about nine or ten this year. We've had anywhere between 6 and 18. And, you know, the membership or the voting membership is based on a per capita. So obviously the bigger states in the East have a lot more members than we do. We're authorized usually between 16 and 18 based on our population. So we have usually between 6 and 10 on an average year.
So are you bringing issues that are important to South Dakota to that national conference as well? And how do you sort of form the alliances with other states to make sure those important issues are heard?
Sure. Well, one of the things that we do is obviously the FOP, being the largest police organization, has a pretty direct link to the White House and to Congress. We have an executive director who's very involved on the Hill. And so the FOP is questioned a lot in police-related matters. And one of the examples I can give you is like the legalization of marijuana. That's a big deal to law enforcement, and it's a big deal to us here in South Dakota. So when we have these conversations across the country about the legalization of marijuana, obviously states that have already had it legalized stateside in their structure or in their states bring their issues, and states like ours that don't have any legalization at this time, you know, we talk about the things that we have and that we deal with, and so that's how we kind of I guess we address the different issues. And so our small state, while we don't have a lot of votes per se, because there's 3,500 to 4,000 votes, we have 10 of them, but we still, states like us in North Dakota, Wyoming, Nebraska, we have similar issues. So when you get those numbers together, those add up pretty quickly. And so these issues that we vote on typically are pretty overwhelmingly supported by most law enforcement, because we have the same problems across the country.
Tell me what difference, let's talk about marijuana usage and legalization. What are some of the different issues that a state like Colorado that has legalized marijuana are having versus the kind of issues that we're having after not legalizing it?
Well, obviously, some of the issues that Colorado's having, and these, and all this information, a lot of it comes from studies done by University of Colorado, Johns Hopkins University, Harvard Medical School. So these statistics are coming from very good sources. But obviously, there's a major problem with children under the age of 17 that are using marijuana is rising at a faster than national average. And that's because of the accessibility and the acceptance of marijuana in Colorado. You know, some folks don't know this, but there's no more marijuana businesses in Colorado than McDonald's and Starbucks combined. And that's a lot. And then not to mention just they've had an increase in homelessness, over 50% since marijuana has been legalized. So they've got lots of issues that are affecting them that we don't have to deal with. And I know people are saying, well, if we just legalize it, then it'd be flat across the board and no one would see those increases. But that's, I don't believe that's true at all based on my many years working narcotics and also dealing with folks in Colorado who I talk with fairly regularly, that there are problems that come along with marijuana legalization that the community's not thinking about. And then law enforcement want to address those, which is why we voted on and supported a resolution that says the FOP as a whole is not going to support legalization of marijuana. The one caveat we did put in there is that if there is prescribed medical use in situations where irrefutable medical evidence supports it, then we can support that. But it takes irrefutable medical support, not somebody saying, well, this cures this or this cures that. It takes the FDA and doctors to say, absolutely, this is working in this aspect, and then we'll get behind something like that.
Was that a contentious debate, or was it pretty universal from law enforcement officers in the states where legalization had already occurred that they said, yes, we get behind that too?
This was I don't recall the exact vote, but I know it was very overwhelming to support this resolution. So as a whole, the law enforcement officers there were very united in our voice against the opposition of marijuana legalization.
In your years as a narcotics officer, what have you seen that this specifically, take the studies out of it for a minute and just tell me the anecdotal, the stories that you've seen problems in Pennington County?
Well, I know in the 8 years that I spent in narcotics, I interviewed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. And in the drug office as a whole, in Rapid City specifically, the Unified Narcotics Enforcement Team, have interviewed thousands and thousands of drug users. And the statement I've told everybody is that we rarely ever interview anybody who uses a heavier drug, whether it be methamphetamine, opioids, heroin, cocaine, who didn't start by using marijuana. Now, I understand that people get upset by that says, well, marijuana's not a gateway drug, alcohol's worse, tobacco's worse. I'm not saying that's not the case. What I'm saying is that we know juveniles specifically use alcohol, tobacco, marijuana, and oftentimes will use heavier drugs. Now, everybody who uses marijuana may not go to methamphetamine, heroin, and cocaine. I know that, but I do know those that use marijuana can lead to those other heavier drugs, and that's a fact that we see because we interview people all the time that tell us that.
All right, let's talk a little bit. I think we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the recent events in Las Vegas and what kind of conversations law enforcement officers have over a cup of coffee or, during work about what happened there and what it means for the rest of us.
Sure. Yeah, that's, what happened Sunday in Vegas is horrible. There's absolutely no justification for someone doing that. And in the law enforcement world, obviously our agency, the Pennington County Sheriff's Office, the Rapid City PD, all the local agencies, we've worked together, we trained together to deal with active shooter, active killer responses. Now, active shooter is kind of the buzzword, but active killer really is more accurate because, as you know, folks are using vehicles now. They're using edged weapons to do damage to multiple people at one event. And so we have to be able to train to work together, and of course we do that here locally. The Sheriff's Office and the Rapid City PD work very, very closely together. We work with our DCI, with our troopers, and so we have plans in place to deal with these things. The wild card, of course, is when it happens and what venue does it happen and who's there to deal with it accordingly. And so that's the part that you can't train for. You just have to be best prepared for the worst case scenario and then obviously hope it doesn't happen. But if it does, be prepared to respond. And our deputies are going through scenarios right now dealing with not only active shooting and active killing, but other base scenarios with firearms and other things. I know the Rapid City PD is doing the same thing. And I know based on my contacts with the sheriffs or the Ohio Patrol, the DCI, those folks do those things too on a regular basis.
How many different scenarios do you really train in, and how much do those scenarios change after a national event or an event in some other community?
Well, obviously, no one in the entire United States was prepared for 58 people to be slaughtered by this guy on a 32nd floor or 31st floor elevated position because it never happened before.
Right, but from law enforcement, you had to have thought, at some point in your training scenarios, you have to think large crowd, elevated shooting position. That's not new.
Right. That's not new. And I know that our agencies both do have a very good officer presence in the events that we're at. Not that that's going to stop things, but obviously officer presence is a first level of force in terms of preventing people from doing things. So yeah, we have, and I tell you, I've spoken with our SRT team leaders to discuss. I would like them to prepare a lesson plan and a training scenario day for an event similar to that, because every time something happens, the best way for us to prepare for it is to obviously study it and get ready just to be better understanding of what would happen. If it happened again, how would we deal with it? And I'll give you a great example. Years ago, when the Somali pirates overtook a ship out in the Mediterranean or wherever it was, and the U.S. Navy SEALs ultimately went and resolved that, the sniper team in Rapid City, Pennington County, SRT, they went and they recreated that scenario just to practice it. Now, we're never going to have a Somali pirate take over a ship, a cargo ship, in our jurisdiction. But we don't know that there won't be something on Pactola or one of the other lakes where somebody may do something. And so we addressed that situation, and they went out and they did some training in that kind of scenario. So those are how we react to those. Is we try to better train ourselves. Again, we plan for the worst case scenario, hope for the best case scenario. And every time there's something new or different, we just have to adjust and deal with it accordingly.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to In the Moment on SDPB Radio. My guest is Tony Harrison. He's the National Trustee for the South Dakota Fraternal Order of Police, recently returned from the National Conference in Nashville. And we talked about an official position on legalizing marijuana. Is there an official position on weapons technology, such as bump stocks or silencers, suppressors? Is that something that was discussed?
We did not discuss that. I know the FOP is obviously a very strong supporter of the Second Amendment. We are also very strong supporters of following all the laws of the country. So if you follow all the laws of the country, you should not be killing people, period, and it's a solved, resolved situation.
Do you think this is a security issue, that's where the attention really needs to be focused, is on dealing with security in a variety of events? Is it a law enforcement issue?
You're talking for public...
For mass shootings, yeah.
Do I think it's a security issue?
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is, you know, we were talking with the Dakota Political Junkies before. You know, some people are saying this is a gun legislation issue. Other people are saying this is a mental health issue. And I'm wondering, from your perspective, does it feel like a, you know, law enforcement issue? A, you know, how do we keep the public safe issue? Or not?
Well,
you can say no.
I think I don't want to get political, because that's not what my role is. My role is to enforce the laws that are on the books. The sheriff's office has a patrol division, an investigation division, a warrants division, and we enforce the laws on the books. We don't make the laws. There are laws against shooting people from an elevated position. And so therefore, if people obey the laws, it would never happen. But we know that's not the case. Obviously, also, I know the Las Vegas Metro PD did a very good job with the folks they had there. We have people at the concerts in and around Rapid City and around Pennington County. But again, when you have people, and is it a mental health issue? Obviously it is, because it's not a normal person's nature to go and do this. So there's obviously some mental health. Now, to what degree, I don't know, and I'm not going to get involved. But I do think that we have to be just aware that there are folks out there that have and need help. And our biggest thing is we can't babysit those people. We can't follow those people around. We have to rely on the community and their family and closest friends to let us know if there's someone with a major issue, and then we can try to get them the help they need. And that's kind of the best we can do in those areas.
And that's been a big push in law enforcement throughout the state this year and the past year or so as well, sort of those response teams for, you know, teaching law enforcement officers how to deal with people with mental illness. Different from a mass shooting, I will stipulate to that, but it's also been something we have been talking about throughout the state.
We have. I think you and I talked before about the crisis intervention training we do.
That's the word, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we do that. The Pennington County Sheriff's, Rapid City PD, that's a foundation. It's in the basic law enforcement academy now in Pierre. So every officer in the state gets it, and that's how we're dealing with it the best we can on the front end.
Let's close our time here with a little bit of the Thin Blue Line as a symbol of hate as designated by Antifa. Tell me about this sort of interesting development.
Yeah, you know, the Antifa in Boston, you know, they put up some web pages and some articles about hate groups and stuff like that. And obviously the Thin Blue Line is a common term used for law enforcement. You know, it means separating the chaos from the calm. You know, there's a group of people out there that do really bad things, and 99% of the world does not bad things. And there's a small group of officers, there's less than 1 million of us in the entire United States, and we try to keep the order between calm and chaos. And that's known as a Thin Blue Line. And so there's a Thin Blue Line flag out there that's an American flag, and it's black and white, but it's got one thin blue line in the middle of the stripes where one of the stripes goes through. And, you know, the Antifa in Boston listed that as a hate symbol for fascism and stuff like that. You know, that's obviously highly offensive to us in law enforcement. I've spent over 21 years fighting for people's rights to have free speech and say what they want to say. So I respect their ability to say it. I certainly disagree with their statement on it. But I will tell you, with nearly 1 million law enforcement officers, the amount of people that do stuff that is bad or unfair to others is very, very, very small. In fact, I would put it up against any other profession in the world. We do a pretty good job overall of holding the line and enforcing the laws and treating people with respect and dignity. And for the few wild cards out there, you know, you can't brand us all with that same label. And so the Thin Blue Line flag issue, it is offensive to me. But I respect their right to say it because that's what I do for a living is uphold people's ability to say what they want to say.
Tony Harrison, National Trustee for the South Dakota FOP, Captain with the Pennington County Sheriff's Department. Thank you so much for your time. Come back again.
Thanks.